try to share them up.
Don't listen to like minute 10 through 17.
Right? Yeah.
Something rest went is wrong good.
There. I get to see you now, Steve. Like, you're going to have dinner with the in-laws later. Talk about, you know, you had a party for different Steves. There's going to be two different Steves, right? You're going to have a share your buzz Steve and then keep the face on for the mama-in-law Steve.
Those two Steves already exist.
Okay. Yeah. See, when you you know you're having fun when they sort of start crossing, you
right.
know, the two.
You intertwine your Steves.
You can't cross Steves. But
never cross the Steves.
Oh,
man.
Goodness.
Well, we got wrong time, so let's just jump in.
What are we doing here?
You want to just jump in?
Well, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls. Welcome
Especially
to Share Your Buzz, episode 67. Matt, we're cruising right along here.
Dude, we're getting old.
Right?
I am ready to retire.
A year and a half in, we're done. That's it? That's over.
That's it. Age 60. Isn't 67 when you can start cashing in on
guess,
the government
right?
checks?
I guess.
So you guys had 67 other shows before you got to us.
Yes.
Is that
you're really scraping the barrel here.
Oh, you don't want to hear one through, like, 30. Yeah. So I am Tony. With me, per the huge, Chris is here.
Howdy, y'all.
And we are super excited tonight to be sitting down with Steve and Bailey in this lovely tap room of Jackalope Brewing, 701 8th Avenue South, here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, where we are based out of. So welcome to the show, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for letting us come and intrude on your tap room here.
Yeah.
Well, this place is awesome. This is actually my first time inside the tap room.
Oh, cool.
I've been
too,
a fan of the beers, but I usually always get them from the store. Mm-hmm. And I like the vibe with the bar being a little bit separate,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of like a living room atmosphere. You kind of feel like you're just hanging out.
Yeah, I saw some cats playing cards and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We want
man.
It to be a comfortable place, just have some beers and hang with your friends. So.
Yeah.
No TVs.
No
you
TVs.
You actually have to enjoy
I
each other.
That. Yeah, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. You're forced to talk to people.
Turn your phones off when you sit at the dinner table.
Old school.
Yeah, right?
Well, I know, let's just jump right in because we got a bunch of stuff. Now, before we jump into, I know me and Chris each got some stuff we want to talk about. I got a bunch of stuff I want to ask, but before we jump into that, let's, for the listeners, just give a little background story on the origin story.
Sure. The origin story of Jackalope. I'm like, well, I was born in 1981. No.
Please. Are you a fan of Stranger Things by any chance?
Yeah.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Exactly. As it turns out, I am. I moved to Jackalope. I moved to Nashville.
Where is Jackalope?
Exactly. It's everywhere. I moved to Nashville about 10 years ago. I'm originally from Vermont and moved here actually to go to Vanderbilt Law School.
Nice.
Now I make beer. Nashville in 2006, there wasn't that much of a craft beer scene.
Sure, oh, I know.
If you guys
born and raised here, so
yeah.
I know. I remember it was old Miller Lights and Coors Lights.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, coming from Vermont, where we just have a very kind of very rich craft beer culture, to down here, it was like felt like something was missing. So, started home brewing and pretty quickly realized brewing beer was more fun than.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've been brewing homebrew for a while though, right?
Oh, I've been homebrewing for about 10 years.
Okay,
right? I don't homebrew anymore. But
yeah.
This is the giant homebrew.
Exactly.
Right.
The ultimate homebrew.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
If
homebrew, you mean like you live here now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I do
right.
spend
a lot.
More time here than in my home.
Yeah.
Now, I did a little research on the website, and it said you started the company with a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Robin, you know, it was something that I'd kind of wanted to do throughout law school. And then when I was graduating, she said that she would come start it up with me. So she came down to Nashville, and she actually left the brewery about 3 years ago.
Did she?
Moved to L.A.
Yeah.
So the brewery started in Nashville.
Yeah.
So this is a real homegrown local
product.
Oh,
absolutely. This is the birthplace of Jackalope.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I noticed you guys in Scotland, as you studied in Scotland, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I love it.
So did that fuel your fire? I mean, I don't know. Are they good? I mean, obviously, you're getting a lot of good English ale, all the beers and stuff over there. So
yeah, they had some good beers over there. You know, I had a beer of the day calendar. You know, those little rip-off calendars one of my friends had given me. You know, so scandalous for my 20th birthday.
Yeah.
And I had collected all the ones that were from Scotland and England so that I could try them when I was over there. And it was, you know, very different from the craft beer culture over here, where a lot of the focus is on hops and kind of weirder stuff, you know, those more traditional malty Scottish and English ales, you know, lower carbonation.
We were just talking about that outside. Like, I want to get to the beer stuff later and more in depth, but I was just talking about this outside with Chris, that how I enjoy the options of beers that you guys have. And there's a couple other breweries in town that I have the same kind of, like, that I like breweries that give you more options than just, because everybody thinks craft beer, there seems to be this, for lack of a better term, this hipster, like, just latch on to as much hops as we can stick into one thing. Personally, I love craft beer, but I'm not an IPA guy.
Uh-huh. Right.
I prefer an ale or a brown or a lager or like a pilsner.
Yeah.
Like, so it's nice to go to a brewery that's not just like just hop forward in your face all day, just throwing hops at you.
No, I think digging into the different styles is part of the fun of craft beer, particularly like brewing it. You know, for us, like, you know, you brew IPAs all the time, it gets kind of boring.
For sure.
We have fun with it.
So this is one thing I wanted to get to, because stop me if this is a cliche and you've answered this a million times, but so two women breaking into a business that was generally a very bro-y business, like how was it tough to get, like,
no, you know, no tougher than, you know, I feel like two people who had absolutely zero experience in either business or starting a brewery. So, I mean, it was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of hard work, but I didn't feel like that was because I was a woman. I just felt like that was because that's what it takes to start a business.
That's cool.
For sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, we've definitely gotten a lot of attention, or some attention, for being founded by women, and, you know, there are some great things that come with that, as far as I feel like we have more women who come to our tap room than maybe the average brewery. Feel a little more less bro-y, a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, generally, I, you know, only have my own experience that I haven't felt like, you know, so, just, I mean, a woman trying to make some beer.
So 10 years ago, you started making beer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it wasn't as popular back then. I mean, how did you get even your hands on the information? I mean, like, is it like...
Yeah.
Was there like, were you part of a cult, like a beer sort of culture where you were at the time? Or, I mean, how did you even decide, you know, I'm going to make my own beer? You know what
I
mean?
Like, I don't know. You know, honestly, the like real story, and it's kind of silly, is I was spending the summer after my first year in law school in New York, interning for the for the Natural Resources Defense Council. And, you know, all the summer interns were like talking about what we would do if we could do anything, and I said I would start a conservation organization, and one of my friends was like, I would start a brewery, and I was like, that is better.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, honestly, it just hit me like that.
Sure.
And I like went home, and I was, you know, living with one of my friends that summer, and I was like, I'm gonna start a brewery, I think.
Just out of nowhere.
It's just like, yeah, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
And it just kind of developed from there, and, you know, really loved brewing.
So your first batch, tell me about it. Like, was it drinkable, or was
it was?
Like,
I think if it had been undrinkable, maybe like none of this ever would have happened.
Went
like
back to law school,
right?
I just wonder,
sliding doors version.
Right, right.
It just would have been like never. But yeah, no, the first batch, I actually, you know, went to All Seasons. It's a homebrew. It's a homebrew and gardening store right on 8th Avenue, right by us. It's awesome. So, you know, kind of went there, and you're like super shy and unsure of yourself and don't know what you're doing, but they kind of helped me. So, you know, you get this like kit and you just brew it on your stovetop. It was like super simple extract brewing, but it was a nut brown, and it came out well, and that made me start learning about, you know, why you're doing what you're doing, when.
Yeah.
So, and then kind of started writing recipes from there, and snowballed.
That's awesome.
So before we move on any further, we got to know about the name.
Yeah.
This mythical creature.
Yeah. So jackalopes, you know, they're a mix between a jackrabbit and an antelope. And I believed in them pretty actively, I guess, growing up.
Sure.
An uncomfortably long period.
Yeah, right. I know. I say growing up. I'm like graduated from college.
It's like when was the last time you peed in your bed? Wait, yeah. Maybe you shouldn't tell people.
Already, like, we already know Santa's fake, but the jackalope is real.
Exactly. Right? Super fake.
Even those Sasquatch people.
Exactly.
Hey, my sister is a Sasquatch person, dude.
Really?
She watches, like, Finding Squatch or whatever it is on History Channel. Yeah. And
well, in Vermont, we have Champ, who's the Lake Champlain lake monster. And my mom has a theory that Champ and Nessie are actually the same animal, and the reason that nobody finds the Loch Ness Monster or Champ is that there's an under Atlantic Ocean tunnel connecting Lake Champlain and Loch Ness.
This is like a thing. This is serious.
Oh, yeah.
Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That kind of ties into that theory that there's people living inside the core of the earth.
Do you know how bad I want to believe that your story is true? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Like,
right?
I want to go in that undersea tube thing.
Makes perfect sense. Cave. Well, it's the only explanation for why they're not always
every
there.
I know we're tangenting now, but every geographical like little part of the country has their own little mythical creature.
Mm-hmm.
You got Sasquatch, you got the Loch Ness, you got the Jersey Devil up there in the north, and whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm from Florida. We have the skunk ape.
Skunk ape, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else gets a cool name. We get the freaking skunk ape.
Some people in Tennessee claim that is a Tennessee thing, too.
Yeah.
I've never heard this.
What is a skunk ape?
I've heard of it,
but I don't know.
Apparently, a skunk ape is like a little Sasquatchy type thing that lives in the Everglades.
Oh.
And but that's pretty much all I know about it. It's just people think it exists. It's a little, whatever kind of humanoid thing that people think that...
I think they're drinking too much toilet wine in the Everglades.
I think there's nothing to do down the Everglades.
Mini Bigfoot.
Too many malaria mosquitoes biting crazy down there.
Maybe the population's dwindled since all the pythons or whatever those snakes are that's taken over.
Exactly.
That's why they don't see them anymore.
So you pretty much were like, what's my favorite mythical creature? I'm just going to make this thing.
Was it nightmares or dreams or
something? No.
It came to her like the Batman. We fell down the cave.
Well, I have my friends all kind of, it was like a joke with my friends. And I have a t-shirt with a jackalope on it that says, believe in yourself. So, you know, I was graduating law school and doing something that was a little different. It's just like, believe in yourself. So that's where the name came from. And now, you know, all of our, or most of our beers, we name after different, you know, folklore characters or mythical creatures.
That
or
you
legends.
Just segued perfectly into my next question was how was the names and
she
all
knew
that.
It. We've got a list in front of her.
I noticed.
Nailed it.
Like I said, I love all the art part of it, of the beer and all that. But I'm very interested in the local small business side of it as well. Mm-hmm. And I love that your guys' branding is always on point and across the board. Like, small business, you have to have your branding on point.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the beer names, the beer artwork is all, you know, it's all creatures or some kind of a play off that.
Yeah.
And, I was just wondering about that. How do you guys... is there a wheel in the back with like animals on it? And
right.
You spin it and
let's mix two animals.
it might get that way.
Yeah. It could. You know, it's kind of funny that I feel like, you know, in the beginning, people will want to talk to us about beer, but just as much they want to talk to us about mythical creatures.
Sure, yeah.
And it's pretty funny. In the beginning, I do remember, you know, somebody gave us like a book about like mythical creatures, and you know, that would be our wheel in the back, I guess. But
can we do a Medusa though? I feel like, what's the Medusa or whatever the
snakes, with the head? Yeah,
that would be interesting. That would make a cool beer bottle. Actually,
it would.
Oh, if we ever do a co-branded beer. We want me and Chris join our faces together.
Exactly. Ooh. What would that mythical creature be?
You don't
want to
know what that mythical
so
creature is.
So he's half bald and I got half a beard. That's
right. That's it.
It's just like our faces turned upside down on each other.
Yeah. Let's not see that.
No, we don't. Nobody wants to see that.
I think Instagram can make that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anytime you send something out on the internet that says, please Photoshop this, right, you're going to get some awesome stuff.
Right.
There's a filter for that.
Do you guys have a like an agency or someone does all your artwork for you for labels and stuff like that?
We have a guy in Australia. Our most of our design, like all of our individual beers, there's a guy named Andrew Rose who lives in, I think, outside of Melbourne, maybe? Or maybe in Newcastle? I can't remember. And, you know, our original web designers found him, and we just really liked his really liked his work. And so we've stuck with him, even though it can be, you know, when you're on very opposite schedules.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it can be a little hard sometimes.
When I see your labels, it kind of reminds me, or makes me think about the fact that shock value is important, right? Because, you know, when you're walking up to that case of beer in the grocery store or wherever you're at, those labels are popping. I feel like these labels are competing with each other, much like a, you know, the wine bottles or something.
Right.
It'll catch your eye, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess that's pretty important, right?
Yeah, and, you know, wanting it to all be, you know, each brand be memorable on its own, but be cohesive, so that when people see it, they recognize it as Jackalope art.
Yeah. Does it look cool on a t-shirt? That's all that matters.
Exactly. Other than that, whatever.
Everybody knows the key to business is make t-shirts first, and then go ahead and worry about your product.
Exactly.
You can check out our apparel at jackalopebrew.com. /merchandise.
You guys have an awesome website, by the way.
I don't think that's right at all.
I just made that up. That's definitely not it. Right.
We'll edit that out.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, we've been talking to Belly, when did you jump onto this?
So I moved to Nashville about 7 years ago, and I moved actually for my wife's job, and so, you know, was you know, actively looking for something to do, and met Bailey, you know, we bonded.
How'd you guys meet, by the way? I'm just curious.
So
was it over beers?
Bailey
like at a bar?
Kind of. Bailey went to law school with my brother-in-law.
Cool.
And so, you know, when I moved to Nashville, we really didn't have any friends here. And and so we adopted my brother-in-law's friends. And, met Bailey at, you know, she used to throw a lot of parties because she liked to make beer and feed it to people.
Yeah, it's a good way to make friends.
Right, exactly. So,
Bailey's got beer, let's go.
Yeah. I'm originally from Massachusetts. Bailey's originally from Vermont. We're both big Red Sox fans, and so, you know, I remember her telling me about the brewery one of the first times I met her, and I was like, you know what? If you're serious about that, I really would love to be involved. And so, you know, a few months later, I became involved and was brewing beer in her kitchen with her few months later.
Nice. Yeah.
And she taught me how to brew. I had never brewed before, and you know, the rest is history, I guess.
So Bailey, you're not only owner, but you're brewmaster, right? Like you're the doctor. What about you, Steve? Do you cook up the brews?
Yeah, we work a lot together on it. I think both of us, it's really important that both of us stay involved in the brew process.
Yeah.
And I think probably my role is more operational, where it's more actually like, you know, the day-to-day, the day-to-day stuff of the brewing, and Bailey mostly writes the recipes, but I'll have ideas about tweaking it here and there. And so basically the way it kind of works is that she'll write that original thing, and maybe I'll have a suggestion or two. And we work well together like that. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a process.
Yeah. So Bailey,
funny,
can I ask one question
though?
I remember you were describing your process when you first started making beer, or when you got used to making beer. Are you paper first? Is that what you do? I mean, it's just like you craft this on a piece of paper and literally write down and then try it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
that's crazy.
It usually, you know, it's like it's like framed in our little office as my like old like composition journal that I would just like write ideas in.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, you can be inspired by anything. But you know, usually it's like if there's an specific ingredient you want to work with, or a certain style you want to try, or you know, lots of different things can inspire you. But usually, start with you know, a little seed of an idea and then build something around that, you know, similar to the way that a chef probably works.
Sure.
In that, you know, if you want to use a certain hop, okay, certain styles of beer are going to really complement that and bring it out. And, you know, what grains would go nicely to kind of create
this? Is it almost like okay, I know this is might not be the best analogy, but making a mixed drink that has, like, say, five ingredients, mm-hmm. you're going to have a certain percent of each one. Like, are you thinking of it in that way, or?
Less about percentages.
Throw a few more hops in there.
I feel like most of our ideas kind of, like, at this point, start with, like, wouldn't it be cool if,
right.
and then, like, fill in the blank, and, like, you know.
And then it just grows.
And it grows. Exactly, because it's like, wouldn't it be cool if we made a beer with, like, beets, or, like, and then it's like, oh, wait, how would we actually make that work? What would the best yeast strain be? What would the best, you know, hops be for that? And,
I'm still
takes legs, I guess.
I'm still just laughing because when you asked him, when you said you were looking for something to do, that's kind of how we started the podcast. I was like, what? What can I do that involves drinking and talking to people more successful than me? Let me see.
Exactly right.
I got it. Chris, I got an idea.
Yeah, yeah. No. Bring your best shirt. We're going to Jackalope.
No, I, you know, a lot of, now that craft brewing has become so, so.
Quick, grab your board shorts. Yeah. We're going to Jackalope. Yeah.
Quick, put on your fancy sweater. But, I mean, I guess brewing has become such in, it's become prevalent in the public eye now. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to go over this, but since we're getting onto the beer topic now, mm-hmm. Let's break down a little bit just for people who might not know, like the brewing process, simple.
Sure.
Like, I know there's, like, you make the mash first, uh-huh. right? And I know a little bit about it, but go ahead and tell us
a little. Yeah. So, you know, there's, you know, they say there's four essential ingredients in beer. There's water, malted grain, which is usually barley, but can be other things as well, hops, and yeast. So you start by mixing your malted grain. Well, first sending your malted grain through a mill to crack it open.
Yeah.
And then you mix it with hot water. And that hot water in the mashing process, the hot water helps to activate enzymes that convert starches to sugar. Sorry, I can be wordy.
So those are the, those are the four ingredients. Like, if you don't have those, then there's no beer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, for it to technically be considered beer, it has to be at least 51% of the alcohol has to come from grain.
Okay.
And there has to be hops. If you don't have hops, it's called groot, which is just beer without hops in it.
Sure.
But for it to be legally considered beer, it has to have those things. And if you're in Germany, it can actually only have those things. They
There's a separate set of rules
laws.
For, right?
Yeah. So in Germany, you know, these kind of things where, so, you know, we have fruit in our beer and we have maple syrup in our beer and all the beets in our beer, whatever we do here, you know, over there, it is a little bit.
So how do you guys, what's the process for coming up, whether it's seasonal or just something else you want to try, when you're setting out, like, to do something, a new batch?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you set aside, I know you said you have a little menu out or a little ingredients out first, mm-hmm. but as far as, like, what's the idea to even start out with? Like, I know, are seasonals pretty much relegated to what that normal seasonal thing would be, like Marzen's in the fall?
Ingredients that are included.
Or like when you're setting out to do something new, like, uh-huh. What's the process for coming up with, like, what are we going to try now?
I think it varies. I mean, I don't think that we follow any set of rules. I mean, I think of one thing that kind of grew organically that might be a good example. We do a peach beer. Now we do a few peach beers. You know, basically in Nashville, there was something called the peach truck, and it, you know, you all know the peach truck where they're selling peaches all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we just were like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool? You had to do a peach beer and kind of sell it at the farmer's market where they're selling all these, you know, peach inspired things. And so,
but you're not popping off with a peach beer during the middle of wintertime. You're going to say, hey, it's time to harvest the peaches. Let's make a beer.
So we then we were like, let's do it like a big party and call it Peach Yourself. And
I love that, by the way.
So awesome. Peach Yourself really got out of hand quickly.
Right.
That escalated quickly.
It really escalated.
I think Peach Yourself is the best example of really how the recipes kind of go. It's like, and we just kind of laid out all these different like ideas for peach beers. We're like, oh man, a peaches and cream ale, wouldn't that be cool? Mm. Like,
we brewed it with grits.
Yeah, we brewed it with grits.
Wow.
You know, it's a perfect style for a peach beer, and you know, peaches and cream ale on the marketing side of things. I mean, who doesn't like peaches and cream? Come
for
on,
for sure, yeah. For sure.
And so, you know, that kind of escalated pretty quickly, and then before we knew it, we were doing a pale ale also, which a peach tea pale ale that we do, and this is all for this big party, Peach Yourself, and for that one time of year.
Yeah.
And then what else did we do? There was another peach bourbon.
And we did the peach bourbon one, and then we did the peach and champagne yeast one.
Yeah.
So how did you acquire the bourbon in champagne?
It was bourbon barrel.
Bourbon barrel. So you let it marinate.
So we aged the beer in a bourbon barrel with peaches. We got 600 pounds of peaches from the peach truck last summer.
Wow. They were like, thank you.
Right.
Next year, are we going to...
Exactly. Halved and pitted them and pureed them and everything
ourselves.
Did
that take a massive crew to do that?
It was brutal.
all hands.
Yeah. Right. Everyone had to have their piece of it, for sure. So.
I think the name of this episode might be 600 pounds of peaches.
Yeah, that's it. Millions of peaches.
But, right? Yes.
Yeah.
All of these peaches.
I love that song.
Yeah, who sang that song?
The President of the United States of America.
That's my boy over there. We're friends.
I don't know if that's actually
right. You know, that's funny. That's why I was asking you if you like Stranger Things, because you were born in 81, mm-hmm. which I am too.
Me too.
Which is like, you know what I'm saying? So
I got you all by a year.
We're all of that age. We're like, yeah. I love this fucking show.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Yeah, I love so it. Good.
Well, we want to spend the second half talking about the beers. So I want a couple more things I want to run through real quick before we end up this first half. Uh-huh. I really wanted to talk about, now that the brewery is established, we're at this point in time in the story. Mm-hmm. How does a tap room come to be? Like you're obviously, I'm assuming you have the brewery up and running first. And
no.
No.
So tap room first.
So you're creating the beer knowing that you're planning on serving it.
Yeah.
Also, okay.
We wanted them to kind of get going all at the same time in an ideal world. But what ended up happening actually was our brewing equipment was pretty delayed in getting here. We had all of our permits and we were paying rent and, you know, needed to get going. So we had like a, you know, basically a glorified homebrew system, and Steve and I would brew on it every day. And so for about 6 months, the tap room was open before we started distributing, and we were only
open. So you guys are just making enough beer to serve on the tap every night.
We were like open Fridays from 4 to 8 p.m.
We would run out every Friday.
Yeah.
I feel like people thought we were like trying to be hip, being like, oh, you know, like we're only open from 4 to 8. Like, I was like, no, this is literally all the beer we can make.
Are you like calling your friends like, it's Friday, like exactly. Please come make it.
This
like,
is it. Exactly. Right. We'd usually run out of beer before 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like a good like coming of age type thing, mm-hmm. where it was, you know, I think of the taproom at the time kind of like our test kitchen. The people who were coming in would be given the feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we hadn't brewed anything on a large scale yet, so we were still able, you know, like we could still tweak recipes.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it was a good learning. It was also like, you know, at times kind of like hard where, you know, when you open yourself up like that, you get a lot of feedback, and when you're new, you're like, oh shoot, like it's you know, it can be trying. But I mean, I think that those 6 months when we were brewing on the small system, I think we grew a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we were distributing,
that's your field work, man.
Yeah,
you know, we can read something all day long in a book, and you can taste it all day long in your, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
But having that field work, you know,
much
like what I do for a living when I'm not making awesome podcasts,
any other form of art. Like, you want the validation, and when you're selling out every time you're open, you like, you know, you're doing something right. It's if you think about it, like craft brewing kind of opened up the doors for a lot of craft industry.
Definitely.
Like, even what we're doing is craft radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you you know, a lot of, I mean, we're in Nashville, a lot of singer songwriters now are doing, they're doing stuff on their own, they're not going through labels.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of, I think beer kind of like was the first almost very early in that little cottage industry of like doing your own thing. And then everybody was like, oh, crap, if beer can do it, like, maybe I can do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
You know what my favorite thing about craft beer is that I think one of the founders of our country, George Washington, made his own beer. You know what I'm
Heck
saying?
Yeah,
like,
he did.
And back in the day, you know, we're not getting political, but states' rights or just your basic rights, you on your piece of property, can grow in your own hops, can do and make your own beer. You know what I'm saying? There's something really cool about that.
And beer, you know, beer traditions go back thousands of years, which is
like the Egyptians.
Egyptians and the Sumerians. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Beer was around before distilling, right? It was.
Oh yeah.
Beer was around to help people that couldn't drink fresh water.
It was like it was something. Yeah, it was something to do with like the traveling, right? Like a lot of times you hear that. You hear like it's easier to carry beer than it is to carry fresh water.
Their beer would stay fresh.
So the boys on the boat crossing the Atlantic or whatever, you know.
That's my excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Just trying to stay safe here. Yeah.
So operating a tap room, right? Versus a, so the fact that you have all your own stuff here, legally, is it like you have to pull all the same permits as a regular bar and everything, or is there something because you're only selling your own product on site?
Well, there's a little bit of difference.
You guys have a beer license, right?
We're in trouble now.
Wait a minute, cut this whole part out.
There's like a difference when you're carrying just beer and when you're carrying wine and liquor.
Yeah, yeah.
So our front of house license is the same as anybody else who only has a beer license. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, you know, we don't need to get it through a distributor. Yeah. So we can just get it from ourselves.
You can literally just walk in the back and put your...
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have to sell it to our distributor and buy it back.
Well, I was talking to Tony the other day, and I was like, okay, so obviously we can buy your beer in the grocery store, or, you know, it seems like you were saying earlier, like, it seems like every bar in Nashville has Bear Walker. You know what I mean? Like, so who kegs it? Are you guys back there kegging some beer, or like you do it yourselves? Like,
and how does that grassroots? Is it literally knocking door to door on like grassroots style? Like, how do you go from the website says you guys actually went public in 2011, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so from 2011 to 2017, you can't go in a like almost like there are some other. Well, I'm not going to name other breweries, but there are, like, Bear Walker is the staple brown ale in Nashville. Like, it's the local. You go to any bar and they have Bear Walker, and if you're looking for that brown ale, that's what
we
you're
have a really
get.
We have a really good friend, like, that's his beer. That's every awesome. Time I've gone to a bar with him, it's always Bear Walker.
So in 6 years, how does that process go? We see you in Kroger, we see you in every local bar. How do you distribute like that to get your foot in the door in these places?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix of a lot of things. Yeah. You know, it is that grassroots effort of going door to door, but it's also the branding efforts of making a cool can or having a fun story, fun names, and the culture of a brewery. You know, those things all matter too. And so when you go door to door and you have some successes and people enjoy the beer, and not to mention making just a great product. You know, success breeds success, and things can kind of escalate in that way. Bear Walker is a perfect example of that. It's really kind of almost got a cult following. Mm-hmm. Quick story: this is like happened like 2 weeks ago. I was sitting next to somebody at a bar, and he said we were talking about like different style beers, and he's like, "Man, I don't like brown ales." I'm like, dude, you're drinking a Bear Walker.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's like to me, it was, I didn't actually say it to him. I'm just kind of sitting there just being a fly on the wall. But like for me, it was like, it was such a satisfying thing to hear where it had almost like Bear Walker to this guy had kind of transcended a style where in his mind, he doesn't like brown ales, but he likes Bear Walker.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's every, you know, and this crosses a bunch, like a ton of different breweries for whatever style you're into. Like there's lots of things that you might be, you can't just generalize that you don't like something unless you try a bunch of different stuff.
Exactly.
Because, it was just St. Patrick's Day, and I was just talking.
I still feel it.
I was. Well, I think we were just
still in your green shirt.
I think we were
out of it my someday. Color, you know.
I think we were just talking about Killian's on the last podcast, and I was saying how I just kind of got burned out and don't really care for red ales, and then I tried yours. Mm-hmm. And which is what's the Rompo?
Yeah,
which is incredible,
dude.
Thank you.
We'll get to that here in a little bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, amazing.
So you definitely got to try the different. Like, because we were,
because
a lot of times you go places and there is a level of okay, how many pale ales can you make? They kind of taste, you know. Like I just brought some beer back from Florida when I went to go visit, and it was a pale ale, and it's like, you know what, this is it's a good pale ale, but it's a pale ale. Like it tastes like any other pale ale we can get around town. So it's kind of like you pick your your whatever style you're into, and then find the brewery that makes that best style. I actually am really enjoying this Pilsner. Like I said, I'm not a very hop forward guy, so I enjoy a light beer.
Yeah.
I kind of run the gamut because I'm also excited to try that Snowman Stout.
It's good. It's really good.
Hint, hint. Your glass is looking kind of empty.
Well, we're at that midway mark. Go ahead.
I was gonna say before we go, so because I know we're gonna talk mostly beers and like some business stuff, like how we get in touch with you, whatever. But so you got your beer in kegs and it's in the bars.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Like, where's Jack going?
Who knows?
Where's the mystery?
Who knows with that guy? No.
What's that?
We have grown quite a bit in the past, almost 6 years now.
Yeah.
I think we focus more on growth that we can sustain and that we can be true to the beer that we brew and the culture that we've created. I think those are number one for us. We just kind of keep going with focus more than geography.
Any plans to go? I'm sorry. Any plans to branch into other markets? Like you want to try to get this out?
I'm sure that I mean that's definitely on the radar. That's definitely on the radar. We don't really like going into markets until we know we can get them enough beer. Right now we're in Middle Tennessee, Chattanooga, Cookeville, Clarksville, Tullahoma and Memphis. And
How do you decide? This is a question. Now we're up against a break, but a new question popping into my head. Like I was walking through we know the Bear Walkers and all the bars. I was walking through Kroger today, and I saw the what's the IPA that you had in
Our American Pale Ale, Thunder Ann.
Thunder Ann. It's
Thunder Ann.
Yeah. So how do you decide which beers? Is it just based on popularity? Like which ones you're going to go ahead and can send out there?
Bear Walker actually that's a big request we get. We're an unfiltered brewery, and Bear Walker has a lot of maple sugar in it from the maple syrup. We get pure Vermont maple syrup.
Nice.
Only the good stuff.
Back from home, huh?
Exactly. So with Bear Walker, our concern is with residual maple sugar and being unfiltered, having residual yeast in it, if you have a can sitting on a grocery store floor and it gets warm, that can will start to ferment again, or the beer in the can will start to ferment again and it can explode. So,
and it just won't taste like Bear Walker. It'll taste like something else.
It'll taste like, ouch, when it explodes in your hands.
Man dies from drinking Bear Walker beer when opening it.
Terrifying.
You don't want that.
And you're right. It won't taste right. Even if someone does that with a keg, a keg's not going to explode, but the maple syrup will ferment out. So with Bear Walker, that's a simple decision for us. It just can't happen. Thunder Ann was kind of our other flagship beer right from the start, and then we thought Rompo would be super delicious in cans, and then we decided to do seasonals, and it just kind of goes from there.
Yeah, I think. Do you guys have your own canning line here on site, or is that?
We use a Toucan mobile canning, and so cool that exists in the craft beer
that
world.
Is awesome.
They just show up to
your spot
and like can.
Yeah, they come and they can our beer and then they're out of here and we don't have to worry
about
it.
It's a contractor. You're contracted out. Like
that's absolutely cool. And so, I mean, it's been a great thing for us. It's been a great thing for a lot of breweries.
And what's the name?
Toucan?
With Toucan, you can.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
Before we head out, let's do the midway plugs here. We're talking to Bailey and Steve from Jackalope Brewing, 701 8th Avenue. Come check this out. This tap room is incredible. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm having a great time. These beers are amazing, by the way.
Amazing beers, amazing tap room, amazing people. So check it's jackalopebrew.com, I believe, right? Check out the website. They got a ton of events on there coming up. So check out their events.
Buy some merch.
Check out. I recommend.
We need to start making board shorts.
Yeah, right. Get your Jackalope board shorts.
Flip flops, dude. Make it.
Oh, you gotta put it. You gotta put a Sherry Buzz logo on the butt cheek too.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it off air. No, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back for a short segment where me and Chris are going to... We want to let you guys pick out like a flight of beers that we should try.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do
and
that.
And me and Chris will try them, and we'll... not that our opinion matters, but we're just going to... Yeah. But we have 20 minutes to kill, so come on.
Can I make a merchandise little thing here? Yeah. You guys know the iconic bad motherfucker wallet that's in Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction, right? Well, anyways, you guys should make a wallet. It's a stamped leather, like a nice leather wallet. Uh-huh. It says "Brew Motherfucker" on the back. You got your the jackalope. Like that would be
that
bad.
Might be Christmas presents for everyone this year.
Badass Brew Motherfucker.
Also, if
you need to see Pulp Fiction,
if you're sharing this show with your parents, just don't listen
to
the last.
We're gonna talk later
because
you haven't fucking seen Pulp Fiction. Tony, totally, I'm sorry.
Came on.
Get ready to drink beer.
And that's where we're coming in for the second segment.
That might actually be the opening.
Right. Oh, this is I feel like I'm a kid walking around Toys R Us right now. This is a beautiful sight.
I feel like, you know, I feel like my mom should be here saying, "Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
We have a myriad of beautiful beers in front of us.
I feel like you guys scammed us out of some free beer here. And you're like, you know what? We're going to come do a podcast. And
well, it's funny.
This isn't being recorded.
We walked in here.
Wet, hot. The kids, thing is... going to nowhere.
We're gonna pay for our beers.
No, you're not.
No, check us out. We walked in here and I was
it's a brilliant scam. And
I was like, I'm gonna buy Tony
it.
A beer. your tap. What do you call your beer server professional? Beer slingers.
Yeah.
Thank you for it. So your beer slinger poured us a couple beers and she's like, "All right, let me see your cards." And I was like, "Cool." I'm gonna buy this man a beer. My buddy, buy him a beer on Friday afternoon. And that's like, yeah. So then I asked her, I was like, "So we're here from Cherry Bus." She's like, she just handed the card back to me. She said, "Here."
Nice.
Your first beer's on us. I was like,
"Oh,
Tony, good job booking." Normally, we're the one providing the alcohol for our guests. So this is kind of like a nice thing. So.
We fully intended for paying our own tabs. We didn't.
We're having fun.
So for the listeners at home, man, we've got some beautiful beers sitting in front of us.
Yeah,
indeed.
And we got five. It looks like.
Yep.
So
exactly.
We're gonna. Where are we starting?
We're going to start at the top.
All right.
So we're going to start with Lovebird.
Lovebird.
Typically when you're doing a beer tasting, you want to go kind of lightest to darkest with hoppy kind of IPAs mixed in towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, since this isn't on TV, it's pink.
It is pink. It looks like something I would like put, like it looks like a vodka drink almost.
Yeah, or like grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice, yeah.
It's a strawberry raspberry Hefeweizen.
Cool.
And so the reason it's pink is because we use about 650 pounds of strawberries and raspberries in every batch.
Wow. That's a lot of fruit.
It's a lot of fruit.
A lot of berries.
We just launched it on Tuesday. So we're all recovering from that.
Right. Nice. All right, let's taste this bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's it's literally like, you know, you taste some of these infused beers, mm-hmm. and it tastes like an artificial flavor. Mm-hmm. This actually tastes like I'm biting into a raspberry.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And we actually we add that fruit in during the fermentation, so it's not super sweet. It actually has more of a tartness to it.
It does,
and the berries come through. Without all of that sweetness that come with the berry, so
yeah,
exactly.
The sugar ferments.
You do. You get the flavor without the overbearing, like mm-hmm. almost like fake sugary
right.
taste.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's, it's amazing to me how
it's crisp too, though. I mean, it's got it's.
Yeah, this is.
It's just like when like it's almost like it's really flavorful, and then. It's like it doesn't linger too long. You know what I'm saying? Like, but in a bad way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's
crisp.
There's a reason. It's our spring seasonal, so it'll be out kind of now through June. We purposefully make it a very drinkable porch weather beer.
It is.
Beer.
You know, because...
For sure.
Something like this, and it amazes me when you do these infused beers, whatever flavor it is, and especially when they're in the brewing process, like you said, how much flavor you actually get. Like, you would think... the actual, like, the cooking or the fermenting of it, like, you would think that would... Because when you cook something on the stove...
Right.
Like, a lot of the flavor ends mm-hmm. up boiling away.
True.
Right.
But in the beer, so much of that flavor still stays in mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, this... It's... You know, I don't want to give away our trade secrets, but it's a very, very simple mm-hmm. recipe, beer-wise, you know, grain-wise, those four, you know, four essential ingredients-wise. because we want the fruit to shine, but we don't want it to be, you know, an overbearing beer.
You know what this beer reminds me of? Like the beer I would drink before I went to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds like crazy to say. It's literally like juice with alcohol, but it still does have a beer, a little bit of beer flavor, like the beer kind of thing going.
So if you want to know why your roads are bumpy, it's because Chris is drinking before he goes to work.
Hey.
No, I'm joking. Right. I'm joking.
I've got an eagle eye. I'll catch it. Never mind.
But no, this is. You know what I? There's a the very trendy thing right now is all the shandies, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. There was a, those are too sweet for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is a perfect little blend of a something summery and fruity, and
Should I feel bad for drinking this entire thing? Like,
no.
When this the whole thing's done, I'm gonna be buzzed.
It's good. It's called share your buzz.
Yes, right. It is.
Exactly. We're sharing.
So
our
this
buzz.
is one more time. What's this one called?
Lovebird.
Yeah.
Lovebird, and it's raspberry and,
and strawberry.
And
this is the wheat.
And it's in cans as well.
It's in cans.
Oh, nice. We can get this out. We can get this out there.
And, and something to be on the lookout for. We're also aging some of this in some Chardonnay barrels, we're gonna come out with something called Higher Love. See what we did there.
Like
we have reached out to Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood, if you're listening,
he has not gotten back to us yet.
Dear Mr. Winwood, please play our release party for Higher Love.
It's funny because Winwood's one of those guys that, like, I'm not going to pop on a Winwood album, but when his shit's on, like, I'm going to listen to it. You know, it's like, dang, you forget about, you know, how good it is.
And he lives here. So,
yeah.
I mean,
so seriously,
he's
if he's listening.
He's a Nashvillean these days.
Yeah, Steve.
Steve, if you're out there.
He's one of our regulars, actually.
Yeah, exactly. He's a listener.
Right. All right, where are we going next?
Next.
So, Birre Dulce.
Exactly. We're going to Rompo next.
Rompo, which I had a pint of, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we kind of wanted to revisit that.
Yeah.
So Rompo's a red.
What style are we talking here?
So we always call it our take on an Irish red. I mean, and I say our take because we put a little bit of rye flakes in it, which just gives it a little bit more complexity, gives it a little spice to it. And, you know, I think the rye is really the reason that this beer goes so well with food. You know, it's just got a little something to it that adds some complexity to it. But the caramel malts still come through. The malt is definitely there. And, you know, my favorite beer of ours to just sit and have a burger with or barbecue. Or,
you know, I was just going to
fish.
You know,
I mean, it goes with everything.
It finishes really well. This is one of the smoothest reds I've had.
I was just going to say, when you mentioned goes good with food, the first thing that popped into my head was like a big burger.
Yeah.
This would be perfect with a big barbecue burger. Mm-hmm. Like that grill flavor with that meat just would go perfect with this. Also, by the way, Little Rye Flake.
Little Rye Flake.
Little Rye Flake. That's going to be my new hip hop name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, that's really good. So what was the inspiration behind this one?
Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah, so it was, and it started, you know, Rompo, Lovebird Rompo and Bear Walker all started out as, homebrew recipes that I wrote.
Okay.
And so with Rompo, it was like wanting to find something that was a little bit reminiscent of Tennessee with the rye in it.
Yeah.
Kind of spoke to the whiskey, but then also was just a really accessible, smooth, like you were saying, kind of delicious craft beer. So that was...
It's got a little bit of sweetness to it.
Yeah.
It's a little, like, that maltiness.
Yeah,
it's
caramel malt.
It doesn't go crazy, though, to where you're like, where it's going to be overbearing. No.
This is, I got to say, this is my type of beer. Like, this is where I'm at as far as craft brews are concerned.
Yeah.
I don't usually go too dark, but to me, a good red is where I fall in. So, for me, this is
awesome.
My jam.
Good. Yeah.
As
a
the
good,
kids say.
A good aftertaste, too.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the other thing the rye helps with is giving it a kind of drier finish. Mm-hmm. The same way it does in whiskey, it works in beer.
Okay.
So it kind of gives it a little drier finish.
Nice.
So it doesn't.
All right. I better not finish this whole thing. I might actually get shit faced here in front of you guys. I just
they only get stronger
I
as you go.
I just cussed again. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So this next one is Bear Walker that we were talking about.
Oh, the
earlier.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. the flagship, I guess.
Exactly.
So Bear Walker, I mean, where's the name come from? Like, where?
So yeah, all of our beers are named after mythical or legendary creatures.
Is this a Tolkien thing from Lord of the Rings?
It's
you would think
the bear that you know, the man bear, the guy that turns into a bear, or whatever.
He seems
Yeah. See, I went to Super Troopers. Where the bear Effer.
Okay.
But no, actually, I was going to ask the same thing I forgot to about Rompo. Where did that name come from?
Oh, man.
Man, Rompo took a while for us. Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, we.
He's a cat, right? The cat.
Wikipedia,
they're,
Rompo.
Yeah, they're creepy. They're creepy cool. mythical creatures.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that one.
It's it's got a rabbit face, human ears, bear front legs and badger hind legs. They're backwards.
They're like feeds on human carcasses.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
Is there any plans for like a chupacabra beer? Is that what you
Man, that is like the number one suggestion that we... Sure. But I think somebody has that name.
I think it's out there.
Yeah, I think... Yeah.
You gotta go deep tracks these days.
See, I thought I was being clever. I'm just being cliche.
No.
Man, you guys could start doing the extinct animals. Like,
I know.
So you know the great thing about it is like if we run out of like mythical creatures, we can just start making them up ourselves. And like,
I know.
You know,
we haven't done it quite yet.
We haven't done it yet.
So
but,
you think.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
but
what's that one creature? It looked like it was like part zebra, part antelope looking thing. It was like an animal that died like in the
60s. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, man, that'd be cool too, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, I agree.
What
would
a frog taste like? You know, there's like this extinct frog. Never
I feel like we could. This could be a whole other podcast if we're just coming up with ideas.
Right.
But I want to talk about this bear walker I just sipped.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
swamped.
I mean, you guys, if you're listening to this in Nashville, then you've had bear walker. It's at every single bar. It's incredible.
So good.
And every time, just going down the two beers, I mean, so all the beers so far have been incredible. But when I hit this bear walker, it reminds me of why this is in every bar. Like it's such a good all around flavor. It's got that.
Can I just say finish?
Yeah.
Like, because all your beers have a good finish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it speaks to what Tony was saying earlier about this over-the-top hoppiness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where 2 hours later, you know you drank a particular beer. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because you can still taste
sometimes,
it on your tongue.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe,
it's
but
like
for
good,
me.
A good burp that reminds you. You're like, that was awesome.
The Bear Walker's almost got a...
Right?
It's almost got
a... burpee.
The Bear Walker's almost got a smokiness to it where it's got that really good finish. It's perfect blend between sweet. If you want something a little bit, if you're not an Irish red guy, but you want something a little bit darker, the Bear Walker is a nice.
We use chocolate malts when we brew it, which is what kind of gives it its nice color and gives it a little bit of that roasty flavor. And then we use, as I said before, pure Vermont maple syrup, Tetherloop Farm.
And I think that helps with the finish on it.
You know,
it's just a really
roasty
smooth.
Is what I meant. I said smoky before, but I don't want to misrepresent. Roasty is what I meant. Roasty.
Yeah.
That's the perfect like when you roast like a cocoa bean or a coffee bean, like it's got that roasted.
That's exactly what they do with the grain as well. So
So you say that, you know, different beers have different hops. I mean, obviously, hops that are grown in America taste differently than ones that are grown in Europe or so. Mm-hmm. How does that work with your hops?
Well, there's different varieties of hops. There's over 100 different varieties of hops. Some can be really earthy. Some are very citrusy. Some are piney.
How do these cats work their shit into their hops, though? I'm confused. You know what I mean? Like, you can make a citrusy
geographically.
Hop.
Yeah.
Is it where they're from?
Yeah, there's some geography to it. Like, you know, in France, or they talk about grapes with the terroir in France versus California.
Sure.
Which, you know, is somewhat the same with hops. You know, a certain variety that tastes one way in Germany will taste a different way in Oregon. So there is definitely some of that, and then there are just some strains that, some varietal of hop that has this type of characteristic where, Cascade hops tend to be kind of piney, kind of citrusy. We do use actually Cascade in Bear Walker.
So hops, much like coffee beans, they absorb the environment that they're in. You know,
They do. It's a mix between that and like. Apples. You know, there's Granny Smith apples.
It's my understanding that certain hops are available at certain times of years, and you have to, like I know there's a I grew up in Orlando, and there's a brewery down there, and that, like, a certain time of year, they can get wet hops, and and it's different than using a dry hop or something like that.
Well, and that's wet hops or fresh hops. You usually, again, depending on where you are, it determines when you harvest them. But in the United States, you typically harvest hops in the end of August, and they're very. The part you use is kind of like green leafy pine cone, and they're very delicate. And so to use them undried, you need to get it in the beer within about 24 hours. And we actually do grow some of our own about 3 miles down the road at the Glen Levin Farm Land Trust for Tennessee has. So we're able to do one wet hop.
It's called the Wet Hop American Summer.
I like it. I love Wet Hop American Summer movies.
I also love how Steve is on top of the puns tonight.
Yeah, dude. This is it.
Boom.
That's why he makes the big bucks, right?
So we're we're drinking Bear Walker. I noticed, like we had mentioned earlier to you, that Bear Walker was like, it's just like a staple. It's like your beer. Is that a good thing to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I just wondered because like I almost felt like, yeah. I get that vibe. It's like, oh, Bear Walker. Of course, Bear Walker.
It's
a big source of pride for us. I mean, I still like, yeah.
It's funny to hear. You're like, really?
You're
that's
right,
awesome.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like a band who doesn't want to play their hits anymore. It's like, we're tired of hearing about Bear Walker.
That's what I was trying to
absolutely
go at.
Absolutely not.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's more a sense of pride where it's like.
We're still excited about ordering our beer at other bars. Like, that does not get old.
What was the first time you guys went to another bar and ordered your beer? Do you remember that? Like, was it like.
Well, it was the pub crawl.
Yeah,
the day we started distributing.
We were in like 7 bars here in Nashville to start, and we visited them all on our like first big going out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we made t-shirts. We looked real cool.
Yeah. All wearing matching t-shirts.
Yeah, it all comes back to the t-shirts, man.
Taking selfies.
You know what? I think
jackalobrew.com.
Chris, I think we're doing it wrong, man. We have 67 episodes and no t-shirts, man.
Or I can't tell you about these fucking t-shirts.
I know. I think we need to make. Well, I think because we're the owner up, we're the proprietors. We need to have polo shirts.
It's gotta be.
That's
no,
how you know.
We don't even have.
I just
polo
like
shirts.
The patch. We got a patch. Yeah. And then we got the sports coat. This is good stuff. You guys can.
All right. I know Steve's on a time, so let's get through these.
So our fourth beer.
So the fourth beer is Fenario.
You can kind of like say that. Fenario.
Fenario.
It's a little bit of a
Fenario.
It's like it should be in a video.
You are talking to an Italian guy. His last name is Manfredtano.
Can you tell us how to say it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, how would you say it?
I was born in the United States, so I'm just going to do that same bad accent you guys have. Fenario. I learned my Italian from Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually am only like third generation here in the States. I have grandparents that do speak Italian, but I grew up in Florida, so I never get a piece of that. I got like the little tail end tip of that.
Just a little.
I got all the attitude and the bad things, but not any of the actual culture.
But enough to know that we just nailed it with
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
That was really good pronunciation.
It's a Fenario.
Right.
So Fenario.
Fenario is an IPA. So it is, probably it is the hoppiest, the most bitter of all the ones we have
here. Just smelling it, you can smell the floral to it.
We put a lot of hops in, like in the back end of the brew. With the brewing process, the hops that you put in early in your boil will give more of the bittering qualities, whereas the hops more towards the end that you add will give more of the beer, give the beer more of its aroma. So, we very very purposely try to add a lot of hops in the back end to give that beer a lot of aroma.
Yeah, can I say I have to agree with Tony. Like, I'm not a hoppy guy myself either. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big IPA guy. So to me, this is a good amount. This is like the perfect amount.
Yeah,
of
I was
good
right
at here.
The fact you just make that distinction just clarifies the question I was going to ask, because a lot of I'm not a bitter hop guy, but this is actually a lot more flowery, a lot more floral.
Yeah,
with
this we go for what they kind of refer to as perceived bitterness, which is more based on the presence of a lot of hop, not necessarily an overwhelmingly like bitter.
Indeed, this is I've already finished half of it, which is, I couldn't take this much sips of the other beers we've had so far were delicious, but I had a sip on them. Mm-hmm. This is going down so smooth,
it's 7.2%
alcohol.
For me to
really?
Say,
good night.
It doesn't even taste like it, guys.
For me to say that about an IPA, because like I said, I'm not a big fan of bitters, but this is actually a really smooth IPA.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and the hops we use, yeah, they're very floral. They've got, they're very tangerine-y, and just very pretty, very pretty.
You guys ever have flower? Do you ever have rose jam?
I want
it's
that.
Like jelly, like jam.
No.
Made of rose, like it. Rose essence. It's like amazing.
Really?
It's sort of, that kind of reminds me of it in a way, even though this beer does not have a rose feeling.
I think that's a mythical creature you just made up.
I rose did. I just, no, it's a real thing. If you ever eat Turkish, not yeah, Turkish food.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
What they do is you take this filadeau roll, mm-hmm. cream cheese and chive,
ooh.
And then you dip it in this rose jam. It's that absolutely amazing. And it's one of those things where you don't think about, you know, much like a beer. Yeah, it's hoppy, but it still, like you were saying, has that floral sort
yeah.
of feel
yeah.
to it.
I really
so
like
it's
that.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
There's only one other, like I will say, there's only one other brewery, and I'm not going to say another brewery on mic, but there's only one other brewery that I've tasted with an IPA of that I enjoyed, and this is definitely in the.
Thank you.
Because like I said, again, it's so many people, so many breweries just are I think, it's almost like. I don't want to say, like, selling out or hipstery, but it's like they know people are into that
right.
hop-forward thing, mm-hmm. so they just
there's like a,
honestly,
like a cheese
how many
to it.
How
yeah.
many triple hopped beer? Like, I don't need that. No,
triple hop brew.
See, I call bullshit, and not what you're saying is bullshit. I call bullshit. I don't think people like that over hoppy shit. I think, truth be
yeah.
told, they think they like that over hoppy shit. You know, I know that sounds
yeah, exactly.
I know that sounds
yeah, yeah.
weird, but it's uh-huh. like. Truth be told, everybody at the end of the day, if they're hanging out at the beach,
yeah.
is going to drink a fucking Coors Light. You know what I'm saying?
yeah.
So like, let's find a beer that also has flavor,
yeah.
but it's not retardedly
yeah.
hoppy. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah,
like,
there's some of it. Yeah, there's definitely some that... And I honestly think that maybe people are backing off of it a little bit now because it is almost
yeah.
getting
totally.
Cliched to be like, oh, this is 125 IBUs. You know, I think there's a little cliche to that now.
I mean, when I brush my teeth at night to go to sleep and I have to literally brush beer off my tongue, I'm not sure that that's,
you know. I love, there are very few beer styles that I don't like.
Yeah.
So every now and then I want one of those beers. That
sure.
It's just like
yeah.
knock me out.
But you're not going to have five of them
no,
and then go,
no.
you know. Play pool or something.
No,
you know,
well, I think
exactly
that's
not.
Also before we
I've
jump into
that.
The last one. I think
I try not to. It's usually a pretty rough night.
Right.
Well, and I know
I don't recommend it.
I've had five of the 7.2s, boys. Let's do this. Somebody's losing in pool.
Yeah.
All I know is the last time me and Chris drank a couple of 10% beers together. And also, let's make it known to
did
the
I
listener.
Punch you in the face?
No, but let's make it known to the listener that Chris is 6 foot. And however many pounds, and I'm
190 pounds.
190 pounds.
I'll
I
fuck
am
you up.
Okay.
That's his.
Seriously,
that bomb.
Well,
sorry guys, the buzz is coming. This is the second half of the show.
And I'm like 5'4", 120. So when me and Chris drank the same amount of beers,
right?
I am
a little
difference.
I am, there's a little bit of a difference there. Last time mm-hmm. me and Chris drank some 10% beers, I believe we took out my memorabilia lightsabers and we were actually in
we were
on the front lawn
like saber George Michael Blue thing.
I was Obi-Wan in that shit, dude. That was
yeah,
hooking
yeah,
it up
yeah.
That's
oh,
awesome.
I'm so glad there's no
so good night yeah.
right
yeah,
good
it was
night.
All right, so we're gonna jump into this last one here.
Hey, Tony's under my wing though. This is my wing man. I'm his wing. Like he's like the missile that's like hanging underneath the wing, just waiting to be fired.
I actually am
a T-shirt that you need to draw
yes.
that depiction.
Yeah,
I actually make
Tony's
divorce.
Face on the front of a missile
coming at you.
It'd be on the back of the board.
Are
shorts.
You kidding me? This nose
yeah.
is a missile by itself. Come on.
Yeah.
I actually make the worst wingman because I'm too narcissistic. I'm like, no, it's about me.
Right? Tony's like, I got your girl, bro. Just going back off. We got this, man. It's cool. All
right, let's jump into this last beer. We're on.
Yeah, what
time.
Do we got here?
All right. This last one, we wanted to pick a, you know, one of our kind of small batch limited release
cool,
things.
Cool.
So this is actually from a collaboration we did with Bongo Java.
Nice.
So
nice.
You know, they're until about 2 months ago, their roasting was right around the corner. From
really.
Mm-hmm. They've moved. You know, they're out on Dickerson.
I love me some Bongo
now.
Coffee though.
Oh
great
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
coffee.
Exactly.
Another great business here in Nashville. If you folks that are around here, Bongo
they're,
Java.
Yeah.
They
were
make
excellent
great coffee,
neighbors.
So, yes.
They made the neighborhood smell like coffee. It was
yes,
great.
Which
great.
Is awesome.
It's like them, like peg leg porker smelling like barbecue.
Oh,
like,
you guys get the
best.
You get the party foul right. right there, fried chicken. Yeah, it's just like what? Crazy.
There's like one corner you'd stand on, it just like smelled amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I swear to God, 10 years in Nashville, none of these businesses were here. None of this is happening. Right? Yeah. This is so awesome.
Yeah.
So what is this beer called?
So this beer is called Violet Beauregard. After
Violet what?
Violet Beauregard, the gal from Willy Wonka who turned into a blueberry.
Yeah, that old bitch. Sorry, am I ruining this podcast, Tony?
It's only getting better.
Please tell me I'm ruining this podcast. I know, like, they might not tag us on Facebook, Tony, because of me.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's good. It's good. But yeah. All right.
So, is there a story behind
it? We did some collaborations with them. There was a big coffee trade show festival in town last weekend. That wasn't a couple weeks ago. That was literally like 5 days ago. So we took one of our beers that's called Rainy Day Blues. That's a blueberry Baltic porter. And we infused it with Sumatra coffee.
It's got cold brew Sumatra coffee. This has caffeine in it. No.
It does, but it's also 8% alcohol, so this is
amazing.
They will counterbalance.
You would pass out from
like,
beer a lot.
This is
amazing. Before you found
this
out.
This tastes like
about
a fine, like a fine, like a fine espresso.
No, seriously,
or the
to
like
me,
that.
Yeah. Like, Tony just got back from Florida,
oh, cool.
And he brought some Cuban coffee with him, and we had Cuban coffee this afternoon, sort of game planning before we came here. This is on point.
Thank you.
This is good. This is really good.
Thank you. Yeah, if you want to talk about
Steve,
like,
hit us up, buddy.
Tell
us about this, man. No. This is good beer.
I don't really have.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I drink Mountain Dew in the morning.
I love Willy Wonka.
The Rainy Day Blues, like, so a blue Baltic porter is a higher in alcohol, kind of more chocolatey porter than, you know, sometimes you have smoked porters and stuff like that. What was exciting about when we brewed it this year is, I don't know if you know, the Tennessee beer laws changed in
January.
We
heard about this a little bit actually earlier. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, before when we brewed Rainy Day Blues, which is the kind of base beer for this, we had to modify the recipe to bring it down to 6.2%. Now, you know, it's spread its wings, living large.
I tell you what, a couple more sips of this, I'm gonna spread my wings.
Seriously,
lightsaber.
Where are the lightsabers? Right.
I feel like the roles have reversed because generally we're giving people a buzz. You know, because I mean, okay, here's how. For you folks that actually listen, you might know how this works, but if you don't listen very often, this is your first episode. Basically, we have people share their buzz, which is Jekyll Brewery, and you guys are awesome, and your beers are awesome. It's over cocktails, so we share a buzz. You guys have got me thoroughly buzzed on some amazing booze. And normally we're the ones giving people alcohol. You guys are giving us alcohol. This is so much fun, I gotta say.
We're professionals.
I am definitely going to finish.
Right?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to finish this.
Yeah.
So it's probably better if we wrap up before I finish this, because I don't know if I'll be able to talk
most
of it.
Right.
Second half of the show really goes downhill.
For sure. Man, if
or
you
I'll
guys...
Or I'll depending on what's
right,
happening.
Exactly. Right,
exactly. Yeah, some of our second half shows are... The second half of our shows are they're nuts.
Sometimes
I'm going to have to go back and listen to
some. Yeah, there's some of them that get a little crazy. Yeah. A little crazy.
So, all right, we need to wrap it up because I know we need to get out of here.
It's about that time.
We've taken up so much of their time.
Our good friend Steve's got the dinner date tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
He's putting on the dinner date Steve face.
Thank you guys so much for having us. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your story.
So, Steve, what's your last name? I don't even know your last name yet.
Wright.
Steven Wright.
Steven Wright.
Like Orville.
Like the comedian. Yeah. I don't know if you guys...
Or the baseball player.
Go Sox.
Go Sox? You're a Sox guy? Where's Kyle at? His favorite beer is Bear Walker, and he's a huge Sox fan.
Oh,
sounds
man.
Like an amazing
dude.
Person.
Sounds like a really right, stand-up guy.
Yeah.
So, and all right, Stephen Wright, Bailey Spaulding from Jackalope Brewing. Thank you guys so much for having us.
So,
we really appreciate everything.
If you're listening in Florida, because I know we got some Florida fans out there.
Yeah.
Like, where do we look you up? Like, what's
JackalopeBrew.com?
And we're Jackalope Brew on Twitter and Instagram, and also. Yeah.
We're on Facebook.
Yeah, and on Facebook.
Because I know you Florida kids down there like beers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I could see some of these beers doing really well in Florida. So. Yeah.
But maybe someday.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I could I could see it.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a... Well, because he grew up in Tennessee, I grew up in Florida, so we have a two-state listening audience.
Right.
But for all you guys that are in Nashville, like, most of our audience is in Nashville.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't come... Like, I always just thought of... Like, Jackalope... I moved here 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it must have been around the same time you guys opened, because Jackalope has been here since I moved here, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been something that I just always knew was here. Like, the Bear... Cool. So, Bear Walk and all that. So... But I realized that we live right down the road. Like nice. we live.
Yeah,
in
we live off 8th.
Like
right
we live in Berry Hills, like, so we're right down
actually right down the road. We're friends. So, we're family.
Yeah. So, but if you guys aren't from this side of town, like if you're on the east side or you're on the west side, and you want to look out, I know you guys. I know there's tons of cool bars everywhere. But if you want to find a really cool tap room with some great beers, laid back atmosphere.
Yeah.
The people are awesome. Everybody that we've
and
talked
to. The beers are also, the best.
Also, you know, the beers are incredible. Let's not sleep on the product.
Yeah,
but
for
but
damn
I will
sure.
say this. I will
Our
say
t-shirts
this. T-shirts
are sweet.
It's been sweeted.
Something that I got to talk about that is important to me, like something that I look at when I go to a place, is friendly staff. Mm-hmm. You guys, all your staff was awesome when we came in. Everybody was, before they even knew that we were here for the podcast, everybody was super cool to us.
Good.
Like, I just, good service, friendly staff. You guys have been awesome. We thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks
for
having us.
Those kind words.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Is that it?
701 8th Avenue South for the tap room, jackalopebrew.com for the everything you wanted to find out about.
Yeah.
You can find us on shareyourbuzz.com. You can find us also iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. So thank you guys. Salute.
Peace, holla. Jackalope, what up?